The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It is, it's interesting that I'm looking at the face of Bill Bennett on the TV box because he was on Fox News just a couple of moments ago commenting on the decision by Alex Acosta, if it indeed was his decision, to go ahead and step down as labor secretary, because what I'm about to do in about 30 seconds has a lot to do with Bill Bennett. Because when I first walked through the door and started doing this show on this station in June of 2012, on Fridays, every Friday, I filled in for Bill Bennett because Bill was doing the four-day week thing. So Bill moves on to other pastures and Hugh Hewitt takes over and works all 5 days. So instead of doing the early morning show every Friday, I'm all over the place. I'm filling in for Larry Elder. Today, I'll take you home after I've dropped everybody off at work here in DFW. I'm filling in for Dennis Prager, noon to 2. That's Wednesday of next week on Mueller Testimony Day. Woo-hoo, thank you, God. And so I'm just atomized out all over the schedule. But when I did the Friday show for Bill Bennett, at 7 o'clock each Friday morning, it'd be me doing the National Bill Bennett Show. And then we would do the James Brown I Feel Good Friday montage at like 8:05 and 9:05. Well, then I'm no longer doing the early morning thing every Friday morning as of, 3 years ago. So we did the James Brown thing at 7:05 and 8:05. And for some stupid reason, I thought, well, I don't need to do that all 3 hours. Well, was I high? Of course you need to do it all 3 hours. And here's evidence. Look at the smiles that will bust out broadly as soon as I tell everybody for the third time today. You can't say it enough. It's Friday.
Ah, I feel good. I feel good. Oh, I feel good.
I feel good.
I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good.
Ah. I would not.
Also, if I only did it twice, it would deny me the opportunity to unload some Pat Travers on you. Quick, who's your favorite Canadian rock act? I know, Rush. And I love them too. But when Pat Travers' band put out Heat in the Street in 1978, it shook the walls of my dorm room.
The pressure's on, I feel it. That's heat in the street. So when I'm a beater.
With the challenging time signature being kept up by drummer Tommy Aldridge, and there's a story there.
Y'all know that I'm a feel it.
So Tommy Aldridge was drumming for Pat Travers in 1978. I then met Tommy Aldridge at Billy Bob's. wait for it. Heck, probably around 2003. Because Tommy Aldridge by that time was touring with the traveling band of our friend Ted Nugent. Ba-boom, boom. Little Pat Travers. Yeah, boy, just anything but the Pat Travers album of that name, Heat in the Street. Absolutely great. All right, so let's get to it. I've had this frozen in time here for a few minutes. They were due to talk to Bill Bennett about a number of things, but Bill Bennett has obviously served in a cabinet. And so they had some questions for him. I think it was Bill Hemmer talking to Secretary Bennett about Secretary Acosta and the decision that he will now step down in 1 week. Let me set this up for you so you know what's going on. I wanted Acosta to hang in. I wanted Secretary Acosta in his press statement, his explanation a couple of days ago, did a perfectly good job of explaining. Bottom line was, in 2008, he is the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Miami. And here comes the Jeffrey Epstein case that had actually been sort of not handled really well by state of Florida authorities. And so the feds were looking into it. It certainly was of sufficient gravity to deserve that kind of attention. And as Secretary Acosta described, what they were able to cobble together is an agreement, an arrangement, whereby Jeffrey Epstein would go to jail for more than a year, be a registered sex offender for life, and pay restitution to victims. As opposed to if we just throw everything against the wall in a trial with incredibly skilled and powerful attorneys from one of the richest guys in Palm Beach, they thought it was a pretty good deal. And by the way, the amount of criticism that deal has received in the intervening decade, roughly none. When Secretary Acosta came up for Senate confirmation, It was not in any way something that was going to derail him. There was not a wave of questioning that said, by the way, Secretary Acosta, let's go back, you know, to 2008, you know, when you were a U.S. attorney for the Southern District. What in the world was the deal with that? And then as he explained it, you got to look at everything's relative. He stood the possibility that he was going to walk. The state of Florida was headed down a path that would have had Jeffrey Epstein walking around a free man, no designation as a registered sex offender, and no restitution for victims. Alex Acosta thought, this deal gets all of those things. It's a better deal. And you know what? It was a better deal. Now, it didn't lock him up for 10 years, and that means that Jeffrey Epstein was free to continue his perversions, which we now know a lot more about because of the New York prosecution that's underway right now. So, in a fair world, in a perfect universe, that explanation works, and Alex Acosta remains labor secretary. Okay, hang on a second. Let me jump up. Hang on a second, because I've got Bill Bennett. But let's jump ahead here just a moment. President Trump apparently with a word or two about that. Hang on, and here we go. We're standing there with Acosta. Hang on a second. Let me rewind, get that in position. I do love technology. Here we go. Hang on a second.
I think he was a great labor secretary.
Standing there, right, obviously, the helicopter nearby, so there's some engine noise. But here just moments ago, thank you, guys, President Trump and Alex Acosta. Interesting. Alex Acosta's leaving, but it's not the walk of shame. President Trump standing there with him, there's a reason for everything he does. There's a reason for everything he does. Was Alex Acosta persona non grata? Was he due to become a pariah? Nope, it's an unfair world. And my thought here is that the imagery President Trump wants is, look what the mob did to this good man.
Not a good labor secretary. He's done a fantastic job. He's a friend of everybody in the administration. And I got a call this morning early from Alex. And I think he did a very good job yesterday. Under a lot of pressure, he did a fantastic job. And he explained it. And he made a deal that people were happy with. And then 12 years later, they're not happy with it. You'll have to figure all of that out. But the fact is, he has been a fantastic Secretary of Labor. And Alex called me this morning and he wanted to see me. And I actually said, well, we have the press right out here, so perhaps you just want to say it to the press. But I just want to let you know, this was him, not me.
Yeah, let's talk about that. When things like this arise, and again, the term that you need to be aware of in every White House position, you serve at the pleasure of the president. You are there. Is Alex Acosta there to figure out what the best policies are for labor in the economy in the United States? No. Is it the job of the Secretary of State to figure out what the best policies are? No. Is it the job of the Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, to figure out what the best education policies are? No. It is the job of every single one of these cabinet secretaries under White House's Democrat and Republican to do what the president wants. To do everything the president wants and to never do anything that disserves the president. And that can result in a loyalty, a sense of obligation that says, look, this crap storm is not going to go away. And if you need me, I mean, a lot of times people will write letters of resignation and hand them in, and they're either accepted or they're not. So the president's not being deceptive when he says that this was Alex Acosta starting this conversation. But please make no mistake. This would not be happening if it was not totally okay with President Trump. And I think that both Secretary Acosta and President Trump, they know that in the modern media culture and with some topics just being so nuclear toxic and misbehaviors of the Jeffrey Epstein case are certainly near the top of that list, if not at the top of that list, that the guilt by association would have been a drumbeat that might have had echoes lasting all the way to November 2020. And that's why Secretary Acosta is going to be gone in a week. Continuing moments ago.
I'm with him. He's a tremendous talent. He's a Hispanic man. He went to Harvard, a great student. And in so many ways, I just hate what he's saying now because we're going to miss him. But please, Alex.
Thank you, Mr. President. Over the last week, I've seen a lot of coverage of the Department of Labor. And what I have not seen is the incredible job creation that we've seen in this economy. More than 5 million jobs. I haven't seen that workplace injuries are down, bucking a three-year trend. Workplace fatalities are down, bucking a three-year trend. That we had the safest year ever in mining, the lowest number of fatalities ever in mining. I have seen coverage of this case that is over 12 years old, that had input and vetting at multiple levels of the Department of Justice.
Interesting. So interesting position. So he's not going out without a fight. He's not going down silently. He's not going quietly. It's basically, hey, you media jackals, you have hounded me from office and you have not covered the great things I've done as Secretary of Labor and the wonderful things that are happening in America's workforces. You have obsessed. You have dwelt with fetish like zeal on what is essentially old news. Let me pause. We'll come back and get the rest of Secretary Acosta. He's a free man in Paris now. Who knows what he might say? 921, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. The decision, well, it's kind of funny. I was going to say the decision by Secretary Acosta. Let's call it the joint decision by President Trump and Secretary Acosta for him to leave. Audio of the secretary with the loud helicopter engine whine. Back to that in a second, but we're getting calls now. Pam, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hi, Mark. I really enjoy your music. I love that you put on all this music and tell us who the artist
Thank
is
you.
And when they were born and that kind of thing. I really appreciate
Thank
that
you.
About your show.
I dropped the ball on that. That was Mary Chapin Carpenter, one of her great records called I Take My Chances. Anyway, so thank you.
Well,
I appreciate
anyway,
it.
I love it. I love that part.
Thanks.
And I like James Brown, too.
Thank you, as does the world.
I just wanted to say that Acosta, when he tried to defend himself, he said something about the Me Too movement was different. These were kids. This was sex trafficking. It wasn't part of the Me Too movement. These weren't grown women.
Careful. But you need to know what he meant by that. One of the great things about the enlightenment of the Me Too movement is we know not to, well, we should have always known, but we've gotten much better at blaming the victim. We've gotten much better at aggressive questioning of accusers. These girls, these young girls, would have been brutalized on the witness stand by Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein's high-powered attorneys, and that was part of what led to the decision.
Okay, I just want to say that I've heard it from a different standpoint, and I just want to say that Epstein silenced these girls because his lawyers and himself and the powerful men threatened them. If they did anything, they would be sorry for it, and so they were under that threat, and then when they finally did come to speak out, Acosta silenced them by not, he broke the law by not even letting them know what he was doing.
No,
and that
he
was
didn't.
Against
no, no,
the law.
No, he didn't. There's no violation
yes,
of law by the secretary.
If you look it up,
secretary.
There's a civil rights
Act, please.
And in law, and he broke
law. That is nothing.
Look it up.
That is enough. I'm well aware of the assertion, and it's nothing but an index card from the left, Pam. It's an accusatory
index card.
Not.
Well,
it may not be from the left. Go ahead. I know where you're going. Finish the sentence.
I was going to say, if you look it up, there was a federal judge that said he broke the law.
And that judge is full of it. There will, for the rest of your life and mine, be things that judges assert, that lawyers assert. And they're not gospel. There was absolutely no violation of law by then U.S. Attorney Alex Acosta in the Southern District of Florida. You can like or not like the deal, but let's not make stuff up or fall in with those who do. But anyway, then maybe Pam's happy because he's, you know, Alex Acosta will now be, he'll go do something else now. All right, it's 9:30. Let me go ahead and get into the headlines on time with Gordon Griffin, and then we'll come back and hear the rest of Secretary Acosta there as the helicopter is buzzing, presumably to take him off somewhere. I don't know. Is he going to the president somewhere? I don't know. But Alex Acosta is out as Labor Secretary, and I wanted him to hang in. I think the explanation was more than sufficient, but maybe we've learned a lesson just there into this effect that the long knives were going to stay out, and that from President Trump's perspective, it's not a fair world. The question is not, does he deserve to stay? The question is, does his remaining service hurt me in 2020? If that answer is yes, he's got to go. 9:31. Gordon Griffin in the newsroom. Mark Davis, 660 AM. The Answer. Of that Athens, Georgia scene, a little Matthew Sweet. Your REM, your B-52s, and this guy.
You don't know how you move me, deconstruct.
Always liked Matthew.
And consume me. I'm all you.
I like Labor Secretary Acosta, too, and I wanted better for him. But sometimes, as our parents, the wise ones, tell us, life is unfair. So let me, in fact, back this up just a couple of seconds, because President Trump, in describing Secretary Acosta as a good man who deserved better, here comes Alex Acosta setting this up as a you media people didn't cover the real news. Now, ooh, there's a shock. There's an unfamiliar theme. The real news is what we've been able to do for the American workforce. Never heard about that. Oh, no. Just dwelling on this dozen-year-old plea deal with Jeffrey Epstein. So he's going out blazing.
Over the last week, I've seen a lot of coverage of the Department of Labor. And what I have not seen is the incredible job creation that we've seen in this economy, more than 5 million jobs. I haven't seen that workplace injuries are down, bucking a three-year trend. Workplace fatalities are down, bucking a three-year trend. That we had the safest year ever in mining, the lowest number of fatalities ever in mining. I have seen coverage of this case that is over 12 years old, that has input and vetting at multiple levels of the Department of Justice. And as I look forward, I do not think it is right and fair for this administration's Labor Department to have Epstein as the focus rather than the incredible economy that we have today. And so I called the president this morning. I told him that I thought the right thing was to step aside. You know, cabinet positions are temporary trusts. It would be selfish for me to stay in this position and continue talking about a case that's 12 years old rather than about the amazing economy we have right now.
So the positioning, the strategy starts to become clear. The desired effect here is the media mob hounded a good and deserving man from office baselessly. That's what they're going for. And that should stick because it happens to be true.
And so I submitted my resignation to the president effective 7 days from today, effective 1 week from today, earlier this morning.
So you have questions? Questions? Who can hear the questions if there were? Hang on.
There is no need at all, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, the question was, why did you feel the need for Alex Acosta to resign? The president said, there's no need.
I watched Alex yesterday. I thought Alex did a great job. And You know, you can always second guess people and you could say it should have been tougher. They do it with me all the time. I make a great deal with anybody. And then they say, like the Democrats, oh, it could have been better. I got $1.2 billion settlement fine from a company, from ZTE. And the next day, and everybody couldn't believe it. The next day, the Democrats said, oh, you should have gotten more. So you can always be second guessed. That's what people do. I just want to tell you, this is a person that I've gotten to know. There hasn't been an ounce of controversy at the Department of Labor until this came up. And he's doing this not for himself. He's doing this for the administration. And, Alex, I think you'll agree. I said, you don't have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to do this.
And that's the sound of the media not believing that for a minute.
I do. And we have, as everybody knows, we have Pat Pizzella, who right now is a deputy, and he'll be acting for a period of time. I think you know Pat. He's a good man, highly recommended by Alex. But Pat is going to be acting, and we've already informed him.
The next question is, tell us, Mr. President, about this falling out that you had with Jeffrey Epstein, and did you ban him from Mar-a-Lago?
Yes, and I did have a falling out a long time ago. The reason doesn't make any difference, frankly, but I haven't spoken to him in probably 15 years or more. I wasn't a big fan of Jeffrey Epstein, that I can tell you. And now, if you look, the remnants hurt this man, and I hate to see it happen. I will say this. And I say it again, and I say it loud and clear. Alex Acosta was a great Secretary of Labor. What he's done with plans, and you see the plans coming one after another. You're just about done with the 401k, and
That's correct.
Things that nobody would even think of. So it's very sad, but at the same time, he wants the focus to be on accomplishments, not on what you're talking about.
Some of these questions, even I can't discern, but perhaps we can extrapolate from what the answer is. Hang on a second. Is my battery dying on here?
Well, Alex believed that. I'm willing to live with anything, John. I think you know me. I've lived through things that you wouldn't believe. Alex felt that way. And he also felt we're so good, we're doing so well. The economy, the stock market just hit the highest point yesterday in the history of our country. Our unemployment numbers are the best they've ever been. If you look at specifically certain groups, African American, Asian, Hispanic, the best unemployment numbers in the history of our country. You know, there are so many good things, and he didn't want to distract from that. And I understand that 100%.
Another dogging up about various Paul Ryan questions.
For what?
Did Paul Ryan prevent you from making any bad decisions?
Did Paul Ryan prevent you from making any bad decisions? Once again, here's the Paul Ryan thing rearing its head. Because in this really, really fascinating Tim Alberta book called American Carnage, Alberta works for Politico. He ain't no conservative, but he's not a liberal jackal journalist either. He talked to a lot of people. President Trump himself allowed himself to be interviewed for the book, and a lot of Republicans, a lot of Democrats. And one of the stretches of quotes was Paul Ryan essentially saying, "Thank God I was there to restrain President Trump from all kinds of terrible decisions."
Ryan was not a talent. He wasn't a leader. When the people in freedom and great congressmen wanted to go after the Dems for things that they did very badly, he wouldn't give subpoenas, whereas Nancy Pelosi hands them out like they're cookies. Paul Ryan was a lame duck for a long time as Speaker. He was unable to raise money. He lost control of the House. The only success Paul Ryan had was the time that he was with me, because we got taxes cut. I got regulation cuts. I did that mostly without him. But for Paul Ryan to be complaining is pretty amazing. I remember a day in Wisconsin, a state that I won, where I stood up and made a speech, and then I introduced him, and they booed him off the stage, 10,000 people. So for him to be going out and opening his mouth is pretty incredible. But maybe he gets paid for that. Who knows? Maybe he gets...
Oh, my gosh. The Paul Ryan jab at President Trump in the Tim Alberta book, American Carnage. Oh, the title, by the way, it's not intended to suggest, you know, that Trump has evinced some carnage across the landscape, but rather that the apple cart is just so upset, that politics is just such bloodlust all over the place and so many battles raging everywhere. That's, and by the way, that imagery is probably not inaccurate.
So people come into our country illegally. We're taking them out legally. It's very simple.
They're asking about here come the raids. And again, the raids are not just wanton, willy-nilly, roll up the bus and see what we find kind of affairs. These are people who we have managed to find who are at the end of their due process road, folks who have absolutely broken the laws as far as when they're supposed to get out, when they're supposed to be out of the country after temporary visas, temporary green cards, this, that, the other. And the one thing that is fresh with today's news is the White House has said that from Louisiana over to the Texas Gulf Coast, where this tropical storm Barry may have some effect, we're not going to be doing raids while they're trying to deal with floods.
It's not something I like doing, but people have come into our country illegally. We're focused on criminals. We're focused on, if you look at MS-13, but when people come into our country, we take those people out, and we take them out very legally. They all have papers, and it's a process, and I have an obligation to do it. They came in illegally. They go out legally. What the Democrats should be doing now is they should be changing the loopholes. They should be changing asylum. I've been talking to you about this for a long time. They should be changing asylum. There's so many things. Now, let me give you the good news. Mexico has done an outstanding job so far. If you look at the border, it's down now 30%, and that's only 1 week inclusive where they've gotten it together. The June numbers just came out. It's down. It looks like it's going to end up being a little bit above 30% down. It's going to be down more and more. They have 21,000, and I say 21,000 Mexican soldiers on the borders, both their southern border and our southern border. And we really have it in control. The problem is we have a big problem. The laws are so bad. The Democrats have to help us fix the immigration laws. But even with that, because of the job that Mexico's doing, and yes, they maybe did it because of tariffs, but they're doing a great job. And
I don't care if they did. I don't care. Listen, if you end up doing the right thing, I don't care why. I truly, truly don't. And of course, this is part of a main President Trump theme. That is that that the government of Mexico has been more of a help toward improving America's border situation than the American Democrat Party. All righty. Well, this is the point where I would tell you I'm going to scoot out. Here is our exit tune coming up. Got a good one for you. We're not done with each other. I'll tell you where we're hanging out together later in the broadcast day. Next, 9:50, Mark Davis. Last Worthless Evening from Don Henley's End of the Innocents was his third solo album, and it was huge. Had the title track, End of the Innocents, Heart of the Matter, another great record, and this written by Don Henley, of course, and co-written by original Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers drummer Stan Lynch. Not the only Petty Don Henley connection. You know who wrote Boys of Summer, that incredible great Henley record, Boys of Summer? That would be Tom Petty guitarist Mike Campbell. Boom! all this information for free. For producer Rhonda K. Moreland at Twitter, at producer Rhonda K, R-O-N-D-A, capital K. Shane Bell, ShaneBellBand.com, at Shane Bell Band. News Ace Gordon Griffin. I'm Mark Davis. God bless our country, our troops, our families. And I will see you on the Larry Elder Show today, 5 to 8 p.m., right here on 660 AM The Answer. See you then.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.